Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
I have concerns about some of the language that is being used, because I saw this myself in the late 70s in San Francisco. This kind of rhetoric was very frightening, and it created a climate in which violence took place. And so I wish that we would all again curb our enthusiasm in some of the statements that are made.
Well, there's the Iron Lady, Nancy Pelosi, suddenly getting succlempt, wiping a crocodile tear or two away. As she says, she smells violence in the air. Well, I would say that we pray there is no violence in the air, but I would suspect that she is starting to see that, how does the Bible say it, my friends? It's something about he who sows shall reap, and she who sows the wind shall reap the whirlwind. Now, of course, we all pray for a legitimately sane and safe society. But when you have a regime like this, when you have an administration that is running the country as though it's a fiefdom of Chicago, when you have a speaker who will not speak in any terms of about the American people other than in the most derogatory terms, calling them names, putting them down, denying their opinions, I would say she's a very poor representative of the climate that she would like to see in this country. She has no legitimate complaint. She celebrated, in fact, those left-wing vermin who criticized the Bush administration in the harshest and the most vulgar terms. But now she has absolute power, and her proposals have been seen for what they are. So first she calls the American people who dissent Nazis, and then she calls them un-American, then unable to present arguments which will defeat her opposition, she accuses them of inciting violence. Ladies and gentlemen, Nancy Pelosi should look in the mirror before she starts making accusations. Now, she's not well-loved here in the city of San Francisco, except by the extreme fringes of society. Pelosi is starting to understand how despised she actually is. In fact, if you look at the posting of Pelosi crying in the local newspaper, most of the people are laughing at her. They say that her world of control is crumbling. Now, we know that earlier this week, Jimmy Carter blamed voter resistance on racism, the fact that Barack Hussein Obama is black. Even Democrats have distanced themselves from that. But now she's linking it to violence. What emotional card will she pull out next? She broke down? No, she didn't break down. This is an act. It is crocodile tears. She's an actress. And the fact of the matter is, nobody believes it. She really wants change. She's got to listen to the people. Now, of course, the people in San Francisco will never change. But the fact of the matter is, America has already changed. Fact of the matter is, we all know that health care reform is really an attempt by Pelosi and her group to steal the insurance industry from underwriters. That's all it is. They want to control you from cradle to grave with so-called medical care. Fact of the matter is, here is a woman leader in the Congress who is suddenly crying, never cried before, and she's only crying because she sees her fiefdom slipping away from her. She sees Acorn going down. She sees the false voting and the money that has greased all of the skids disappearing. She sees the people waking up to her. She recognizes that the anger that is out there, and there is genuine anger, has been provoked by her and the illegitimate Democrats. And I will talk about this further on the Savage Nation. Pelosi's crying. But a much more important story is Obama and the missile shield. I don't know if you read this yet today. It is a very big story. But in a move that eerily mirrored the actions of Neville Chamberlain just before World War II, Barack Obama has decided to end plans to build missile shield facilities in the Czech Republic and in Poland. Eerily, this was announced on the 70th anniversary of Russia's invasion of Poland, and it comes 71 years after Neville Chamberlain gave away Western Czechoslovakia to Adolf Hitler. Now, on the surface, it appears that Obama thinks Europe is no longer worth defending. And remember what I'm talking about. Obama announced he's not going to build a missile shield in Czechoslovakia or Poland. Okay? So on the surface, it looks as though Obama is a pacifist. On the surface, it looks as though he thinks Europe cannot be defended or he's unwilling to defend it. Apparently, he doesn't mind handing a massive propaganda victory to the Russians either. And apparently, he's willing to leave Europe defenseless against Iran, which, according to the International Atomic Energy Agency, is now capable of making a nuclear weapon and the missile necessary to launch it into Europe. This is the kind of weakness that encouraged Iran to go after nukes in the first place. It's the kind of weakness that could encourage Russia to new heights of militarism. And it appears to be the kind of weakness that allowed Adolf Hitler to conquer all of Europe while England looked the other way. Notice what I said. On the surface, all of this appears to be what's going on. On the surface, this appears to be a complete sellout of Europe. But my friends, Michael Savage has always looked beneath the surface. I have the best sonar in the radio business. I have never been wrong on international events, and I'm not wrong now. And I'm going to make a statement here. It could be possible that there may be more beneath the surface of this act regarding the missile shield in Europe. Why do I say it? Please listen to me. This is the most important thing I have said in a long time. If you remember last week, Prime Minister Netanyahu of Israel secretly visited Russia, right? Now, this announcement of no missile shield in Czechoslovakia or in Poland comes a week later. So here's what I ask you. Could it be that in exchange for the United States agreeing not to install missile shields in Eastern Europe, Russia has given Israel the green light to attack Iran? Could it be that Obama is that calculating? We know that he has demonstrated his shrewdness with regard to domestic policy. But the question is this. Is Obama being a brilliant statesman or an appeaser? I will let the Savage Nation decide. Now, I want to repeat what I said to you in a much shorter way. Surface story, Obama's not going to build missile shields for Czechoslovakia and Poland, even though he promised those countries he would protect them. It seems to be an act of pacifism. It seems to be an act of cowardice on the surface. It seems as though we've abandoned our allies on the surface. But I ask you to think beyond the surface. And again, I point out a fact. Last week, Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu of Israel secretly visited Russia. Now this comes a week later. So I'm asking you, could it be that in exchange for the U.S. agreeing not to build missile shields in Eastern Europe, Russia has said, I'm going to give Israel the green light to attack Iran? Could Obama be this calculating? We do know that he is a brilliant man. We do know that he's demonstrated his shrewdness with regard to domestic policy up to a certain point. But the question again to you, the Savage Nation, is Obama being a brilliant statesman or an appeaser like the man I mentioned, Neville Chamberlain? This is the Savage Nation. We have two topics. Nancy Pelosi's crocodile tears, are they real? And Obama's decision not to build missile shields in Czechoslovakia and Poland, is this brilliant statesmanship or appeasement? The phone number is 1-800-449-8255. I'm Michael Savage. I'll be right back. Turn it off. I mean, this is such a wrong pick for the topic of Obama and the missile shield. How about coming back with something militant and heavy metal-ish for about 10 seconds? Yeah, anything might do it. Even Rammstein would be better than a slow bump and grind job. Where'd that come from? Give me something. All right, that fits the story. A bump and grind he throws in. So Obama says no missile shield for Czechoslovakia and Poland. And those countries are counting on a missile shield from the United States of America. So stop the music already. Now I set the stage. So the normal reaction from liberals would be, great, he's a peaceful man, and he only wants peace. It's exactly what the peaceniks in Britain said. And had they been followed, the Brits would be speaking German right now. Half of them would have been killed by Hitler. But it was only Churchill who stood up to the German war machine in the 1930s and encouraged the building of tanks and ships and planes that permitted England to fight the war. It's the same all over again. So on the surface, it looks like Obama is mirroring Neville Chamberlain before World War II. But I say, and we don't know yet what the truth is. We're going to have to wait a few weeks or a few months to find out. And under the surface, I believe that this was a trade with Russia. That Obama said, I will not build a missile shield in Czechoslovakia and Poland to Russia, to Putin, in exchange for you giving Israel a green light to attack Iran and put out their missile, their nuclear ambitions. Because Russia said they would defend any attack on Iran. And as you well know, Israel's back is to the wall. They have no choice here. Iran is on the course of destroying the Jews in Israel. Period. End of story. So either Israel takes down their missiles and their nukes as far as they can, or they're dead. Now, they don't want to set off World War III. Nobody wants that. And so Russia doesn't want that either. And remember, I've studied the history of relations between Persia and Russia going back to the 18th and 17th centuries. You have to understand a little more recent history to understand modern history. And the fact of the matter is Persia and Russia have long been competitors. And so this is nothing new. They don't want an emboldened Iran. They don't want an emboldened nutcase like Ahmadinejad, because he would threaten them with the missiles. Don't you understand that? Don't you see that if they permit Iran to develop nuclear weapons and missiles capable of carrying them to Europe, these missiles could be aimed just as well to the northeast and be sent into the heart of Russia? You think they want that? They don't even want American missile defense shields in Eastern Europe. So why would they want a maniac, a Muslim maniac at that, inside the belly of the beast? They don't want that. So you think they're going to say that on the surface? No, Putin's too smart for that. So he's going to let little Israel do his bidding as well. He wins both ways. In the meantime, he gets Obama to say, I'm not going to build a missile defense shield. So it looks like Obama catered to him, gave in to him. And if Israel attacks, then you know that my second theory is correct. If Israel doesn't attack, then I'm wrong, and Obama is simply Neville Chamberlain. San Diego, Brett, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, I think you're wrong, Michael. I think that what's going on right now is Obama's not pulling a Neville Chamberlain. What's going on is we're going to continue in Afghanistan for another year or two, possibly three, and he's just continuing the Bush doctrine for a little bit while because Bush got us in the quagmire in Afghanistan. And you know what? This is
What is this call about? It's to blame Republicans. I am talking about Obama and the missile shield. I'm talking about today's news, Brett.
Well, what about it? I mean, I think that he's right to get rid of the missile shield. We need to get rid of this military-industrial complex. We need to cut back our forces. And I think Obama is going to get us out of these forces.
Well, I think you're a pacifist. You're the type of man who, that if a gangbanger came to your door to rape your wife, you'd say, come on in.
Oh, yeah, man. Just get the...
Yeah, all right. Take a walk. Don't call my show. Your cowardice is so overwhelming that it weakens the audience's ears. They don't need you. Never call the show. Never. I don't ever want you to call the show. I only want you to call liberals. That's where you belong, with the other pacifist worms in America. Okay? Now we'll go back to the other callers who may have bigger brains than him. Anthony in New York on WOR. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, hi. Mr. Savage, a pleasure to talk to you. My question is, well, it's more of a comment. It's like, Why do we have to pay for their missile defense shield? If they have money...
Hold on. We're not talking about who's going to pay for it. Let's assume Czechoslovakia and Poland, we're going to pay for it. They don't have the technology. We do.
Oh, okay. Well, in that case, yeah, I agree with you. But if we're going to foot the whole bill for that, I mean, we're broke.
Why would Russia not want Poland and Czechoslovakia to not have a missile defense shield? Why would they not want that? These are not missile launching platforms. This is a missile defense shield to prevent Czechoslovakia and Poland from being annihilated by incoming Russian missiles. Why would anyone oppose that? Unless they had a desire to manipulate Czechoslovakia and Poland. In other words, to bring them back into the Soviet fold. Remember, Czechoslovakia and Poland only recently broke away from Father Russia. You know that.
Yeah. Well, I just...
All right, thanks for the call. I need to have a conversation here with somebody who actually knows what's going on. So far, it's 0-2. 1-800-449-8255. New York City, we'll try you. Brett, you're up next. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Michael.
Yes.
Before George Bush left office, I saw something on the internet about a sale of arms to Israel that included all the weapons necessary to do the job in Iran. And I haven't seen anything since, and I always thought eventually something would come about. And on the surface...
Personally, I'm tired of the boy who cried wolf. I am sick and tired of hearing this for years now, that tomorrow Iran. I'm sick of listening to it. I am sick of the Western leaders wringing their hands and putting their head in the sand. I'm sick of it. Either they act or they don't act. I'm sick of having leadership like this. Corrupt gangsters. They rob the treasury and they don't protect us. Iran is a malevolent nation under this character, the Hitler of our time. I keep saying it over and over again. He comes to Columbia University to liberal students lick his boots. He comes to the UN and New York lets him in there. That's like letting Hitler into New York. It's unbelievable to me. Either Israel does something or they don't do anything. I'm sick of hearing it already. I'm sick of it. The man is a threat to the world. The man is a threat to the world. And Russia knows it. He's a threat to them as well. Do you think that Putin wants a nuclear-armed Iran in the hands of a radical Muslim in the belly of their own nation? Are you people kidding me? The ability to strike Moscow from Iran with nuclear weapons? He doesn't want that either. But he's going to either use someone in the West or Israel to strike Iran. It's probably Israel.
Savage.
All right, so on the surface, Obama ditches missile defense in Eastern Europe, and the people are saying he's a pacifist. He's like Neville Chamberlain. That may be so. We have to wait to see what occurs over the next weeks or months to find out if that is so. Because if Israel attacks Iran, as expected, and Russia does not react against Israel, which I suspect will be the case, it will mean that my second suspicion may be correct, which is that this was a trade-off between Obama and Putin. That is, between the U.S. and Russia. That the U.S. agreed not to install missile shields in Eastern Europe in exchange for Russia giving Israel the green light to attack Iran. Now you say, well, why would Russia do that? Isn't Russia and Iran, or aren't Russia and Iran natural allies? The answer is no. Russia and Persia, and I'm using a word that is very important, Russia and Persia are not traditionally allied. They are historic antagonists. Persia lost its traditional foothold in Central Asia to the Russian Tsarist armies going back that far. The Russian armies occupied the Aral Coast in 1849. They occupied Tashkent in 1864. They occupied Bukhara in 1867, Samarkand in 1868, Kiva and Amudarya in 1873. In fact, Persian losses to the global emerging power of Imperial Russia were topped off during the Treaty of Akkal. This is all history that is unimportant. It's just in the long sweep of history, you have to understand what I'm saying to you here, which is that the Russian Empire's dominance over the region included dominance over Persia, you see. And at a certain point, the central government in Tehran was left with no power, not even the power to select its own ministers without the approval of the Anglo-Russian consulates. So, what am I getting at? What I'm getting at is a resurgent Persia at this time is not in the geopolitical interests of the world, certainly not in the geopolitical interests of the West, and most importantly, for the sake of today's news, not even in the geopolitical interests of Russia. Now, nobody in the radio business can match my analysis. They never could and they never will. I goof around sometimes. I get emotional sometimes. I get tired sometimes. I sing sometimes. I dance sometimes. But when it comes down to international analysis, nobody's better than me. If you remember, going back many years now to Bush 1 and Iraq 1, remember what I said? Do you remember what I said when the conservatives attacked George Bush for not taking out Saddam Hussein, the first Bush? I don't think many of you listened to my show going back that far. And what I said then was that was the smartest political move of the time. What Bush 1 did in the first Iraq war was destroy most of the Iraqi army, took out the Iraqi Air Force up to a certain point, but they did not kill the fleeing Republican Guard, and they did not kill Saddam Hussein. They left him in power. And the reason is because Bush's advisors, the first Bush, were much smarter than Junior's advisors. Bush's father's advisors understood geopolitics much better than did Bush Jr. So Bush Sr. and his advisors said, wait a minute now, let us leave a less powerful, less threatening Iraq in power, but still an Iraq that can be a counterweight to Iran. And so they didn't destroy him. They didn't cut the head off the nation. They didn't take out the military leadership. Secondly, you have to understand that Saddam was a Sunni Muslim. Iran is a basically Shia country. And this continued to keep the powers separated. What Bush Jr. did was insane. And I wrote in Liberalism is a Mental Disorder that it may turn out to be the greatest military blunder in history, and it may yet turn out to be the greatest military blunder in history. Why? Because by taking out the Sunni leadership of Iraq and permitting the Shia to become empowered in Iraq, what you were doing, in essence, was empowering Iran and creating a greater Persia. That's what I said. I said it now going back over many, many years. So nobody in radio can analyze better than Michael Savage. Nobody. And I'm proud to tell that to you. And the reason I'm telling that to you is because if I don't tell it to you, who will? Nobody will do it. They pretend I don't exist. But the fact of the matter is I do exist. And there's nobody better than me at international analysis. Nobody. So having said that and boasted a bit, we'll go back to the facts at hand. Obama says, I'm not going to build a missile defense for Czechoslovakia and Poland. The right wing is going to automatically say, coward, pacifist, Neville Chamberlain. See, we told you so. And I say, not so fast. I say, look beneath the surface. Look at the chess game, not the checker game. And unfortunately, most people in the media on left and right are playing checkers. And I'm playing six-dimensional chess. And I'm telling you that when you look at this from the point of view of a globe rather than from a flat world, you may see that Obama is more calculating than he appears to be. Now, you say, when I say Obama, what do I mean? Obama's not a government unto himself. Obama is a representative of certain powers that put him in office. Domestically, we don't like those powers. Domestically, we resent those powers. Domestically, we don't like what they're trying to do to America. I agree with you. But those very powers that we resent also have the same interests that we do when it comes to national defense. Make no mistake about it. They may be greedy bastards. They may be the greediest bastards in the history of America, the bankers on Wall Street, okay, and the money changers. I agree with you. But remember, they also have to live somewhere. They also have homes and apartments in the United States of America. And so the last thing they want is to destabilize our national defense with regard to an emerging threat from Iran. So who's best to take out Iran? Is it the United States of America? Sure, we are, and we should. This country's national interests depend upon it, but we won't do it because we have other interests that we're trying to trade off from their point of view. Business, in other words, that these greedy bastards need to do with bankers in other countries and ores and mines and uranium and God knows what else they need. You know, the nowhere man, the yellow submarine, there's not enough for them. The horn will eventually suck their own foot into their horn. Remember the Yellow Submarine? Try to imagine the Yellow Submarine, the movie from the Beatles. That's who these people are. There's not enough money on Earth. There's not enough gold on Earth. There's not enough uranium on Earth for these bastards. And eventually they'll suck their own feet into the horn that they got out there sniffing the Earth. But putting that aside, these greedy evildoers also do not want to go up in a cloud of smoke. And so, therefore, we come down to realpolitik, where at the end of the day, they have to defend America. And at the end of the day, they're not going to do it themselves. They're going to do it in a Machiavellian way. And they're going to have the hated, despised Jews do it. That's my opinion. Chicago, Vince, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Mike, first I want to say your history is impeccable on the Iran and the Russia situation. I'm 100% with you on Bush 1 and his strategy with Iran.
Right. And but remember, I said that back when it was done, not just today looking backwards. I said it right on the spot. I saw what he was doing. In fact, I gave it at a speech at a radio and records convention, I think in 1997. But go ahead. I'm sorry to interrupt.
Well, the only other thing I'd like to add to everything you said is, and as far as this missile defense shield goes, it's a throwaway card.
I'm sorry. Wait, say that again, Vince. It's a what?
It's a throwaway card.
Why?
Because the missile defense shield, let's face it, I think we have more technology out there than we know about. And, you know, I think there's things...
All right, so you think the missile defense shield is actually old technology?
I do. Come on. I really do.
Only way to test my suspicions is to see what Israel does or whoever it will be that takes out Iran's nukes. And if that happens, we'll know that my second theory is correct. If it doesn't happen, then we can only conclude that Obama is Neville Chamberlain, correct?
Well, yeah, you can, but I think it's going to be Israel who takes out Iran's nukes.
If Israel does that, and Russia does make some kind of putative argument against it, but doesn't make any military moves against Israel, we'll know that that was a trade-off, correct?
That's correct. And Russia's not going to make any military moves against Israel.
Why not?
It's just not going to happen. It's not in the cards. Because then you'd end up with a world war with the United States.
Right. Okay, so it goes back to my original my statement of a few minutes ago. The bankers who are running the world do not want Iran to have nukes, and the bankers of the world are afraid of Iran, and they're going to have Israel take out Iran, and they engineered this. Council on Foreign Relations, you name the group, and you can pretty much find the same fingers in all the pies.
That's correct.
Thank you, Vince. Thank you very much. By the way, thank all of you for flooding the website, michaelsavage.com, and buying Band in Britain in such great numbers. That's very encouraging. I do appreciate it. I'd like to continue this discussion and Pelosi's crocodile tears. I mean, that was so absurd. Claiming that there's going to be violence. Who is she kidding? She called everybody Nazi and hoodlums, and now she says Pelosi warns of political violence. What nonsense. What rubbish. Who does she... That's like Jimmy Carter saying people oppose Obama because of his race. Even Obama distanced himself from that. Even Democrats are running away from that statement. Jimmy Carter is basically a marginalized throwback to another time. Obama's far beyond all of that. You know, and my analysis right now of what happened is based purely upon reading history and reading what's going on in the world. It's not based upon any inside knowledge. I don't have any connections to any intelligence groups. I mean, I wish I did, but frankly, I think they should have some connections to me. I'd be a wonderful asset to any administration, and I would do it for a dollar a year. I can guarantee you that my thinking is as original as any one of the bureaucrats working in the NSA or the CIA. I can just guarantee you that. I'll be right back. To the Savage Nation. We are not so comedically playing the ex-Soviet national anthem because there's a re-emerging USSR. And as you well know, Czechoslovakia and Poland were once part of the USSR. And Putin, the former head of the KGB, certainly does not want these, to him, breakaway republics getting too uppity. And so he said, look, You know, there's only so much I'm going to take in my backyard. You're not building a missile defense shield. We want them basically to be afraid of us. And the Obama people probably negotiated the right for Israel, or the U.S. itself, for that matter, to take out Iran's nukes. Now, having said that, we don't know the real answer here. It could be weakness on the part of Obama. It could be Neville Chamberlain-esque, the Neville Chamberlain gene in Obama. Or it could be this Machiavellian move that I am suggesting. And we don't know. We're going to have to wait and see how it plays out. There was a book years ago entitled The Strangling of Persia. The Strangling of Persia, which was a recount of the details of the takeover, or the weakening of Persia by Britain and Imperial Russia, the Strangling of Persia. So from the point of view of Ahmadinejad, who is a nationalist and Islamist, of course he wants to develop nuclear weapons in order to assert himself on the world stage. One can understand that. However, no nation that I know of that has developed nuclear weapons has done so concurrent with statements that they're going to wipe a nation off the earth. This maniac has said repeatedly that he's going to wipe Israel off the map. This maniac has said repeatedly that America is his enemy, the great Satan. And so what sane nation would let an enemy develop weapons that could harm it while the nation threatening it is still weak? What nation on earth would permit that to happen? Well, Britain did it under the liberals. Was it not for the conservative Winston Churchill, there would be no Britain anymore. They would all be speaking German. And so we don't know who's behind Obama and how far they're willing to go to defend America. I don't know right now. All I can say is that if I were in a room with the counterintelligence agents trying to understand this, or trying to analyze this, or if it was a university trying to analyze it, this is what I would have come up with. But since it's only a radio show with idiots who listen to the show, apparently, according to the left wing, and uneducated dolts who listen to right-wing radio, let's just sit here and play with Clarabelle horns, since we don't know what's going on. According to Nancy Pelosi, we're all a bunch of Nazis and fascists anyway. Only the liberals are the good people. It just shows you how deranged she is, and they are. Only they're good. They only mean good. That's all they want. Boo-hoo-hoo. They always mean good. Well, I told you yesterday, the missionaries who came to Hawaii came to do good, and they did very well indeed. And it's interesting to me that of the 50 richest members of Congress, 95% of them are extremely screaming left-wing liberal Democrats, because they all profit by their policies. Make no mistake about it, okay? Get real and grow up. Now, if you want to talk about the missile shield or Nancy Pelosi's crocodile tears, please, go ahead. Okay? Boca Raton, Carol, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yes, I'm very upset, Dr. Savage, with Mr. Gates. I think something is up. And I can't exactly put my finger on it, but I know Russia is selling missiles to Venezuela and North Korea, and I believe they are also selling them to Ahmadinejad. Now, I could be very mistaken, but I feel something is very suspicious with Obama and Putin.
Well, of course there are those suspicions that lurk. The biggest indicator of paranoia in this regard, and paranoia is not always incorrect, is Hillary Clinton and Obama trying to reinstall a communist dictator in Honduras after the people and the Supreme Court of that nation threw the man out. Why would this administration take the side of a communist dictator while communism itself is on the move all through South America? Why?
I believe communism is on the move here in America.
All right, we could go there, but at this point in the conversation, I don't think we need to. I'd rather stick to the strategy here with regard to the missile shield. 1-800-449-8255. Where do you stand on this? What do you think about this? New York City, John, you want to talk about Madam Pelosi. Go ahead, please.
First of all, I want to congratulate you on your new book. I just know it's going to be great. All your books are.
Thank you.
And this Nancy Pelosi, she just scares the living hell out of me, Dr. Savage. It seems like, just like you said, it's almost like she's like a wounded animal. Whenever she's at her weakest or she's hurt, she becomes more dangerous, which makes Obama more dangerous.
Well, what's intriguing about her crocodile tears and her saying there's going to be violence is this. even the Obama administration itself has moved away from the so-called public option or government-funded health care. And yet Pelosi is saying, no, we're going to insist upon it. She seems to be a party unto herself. Why is she unwilling to compromise? Because there is so much money at stake that she can't compromise, in my opinion. There are so many things promised to so many people that she can't compromise. And that makes her very dangerous indeed.
It's the whole administration. I mean, it just, I never seen anything. I mean, I'm 40 years old, but I have never seen an administration like this. And hopefully I never will again. But I got a feeling that we're going to see this for a long time.
Well, I can't comment on never. Maybe in our lifetimes we've never seen an administration as there's a single word to categorize what they are. But I hear what you're saying, and you're not alone. That's all. We have so many callers from around the country. We got to go to Detroit. Ruvane, welcome to the Savage Nation. Detroit, Michigan, go ahead, please.
Hey, Michael, I think that you're wrong. I'm not 100% sure, obviously, but I think that you're wrong in this, and I'll tell you why. It is definitely not in Israel's best interest in the long term for Russia to develop power over Eastern Europe. Israel has a lot of strong trading relationships with Eastern Europe and Poland and Czechoslovakia, and they don't want to lose that by Russia taking it over. Number two...
Wait, let's pause right there. But if you were to choose between economic well-being and survival itself, which would you choose?
What are you saying? I'm sorry, I couldn't hear you.
If you were to choose, if you had to choose between your economic well-being and your survival itself, which would you choose?
That is certainly the weakness in my argument. But I'll tell you one other thing. Obama did say during the campaign that he was going to take these missiles out. So that's what makes me think a little less suspiciously about it. But, again, I may be wrong like this.
Well, I may be wrong as well. I'm only surmising because the immediate knee-jerk reaction from the conservative movement would be that Obama is a pacifist. Obama stabbed Poland and Czechoslovakia in the back. Obama is like Neville Chamberlain, and he put us in danger. But when you think beyond that and you see a few other things in the news that occurred, such as Netanyahu flying secretly to Russia last week, it came and went. It wasn't even in the news. I caught it in a few little sites. I said, I think a deal was done. That's why I'm suggesting this. I'm surmising it. I have no idea. I'm only using deductive logic and about 30, 40 years of reading history.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
Now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
From those people that everybody's referring to, the people who were on the mall in the rally, what are they saying? What's on their minds? Do they believe that they are simply angry at the president's policies or at something else? It's not enough for African Americans to say what they think, what they suspect. Let's hear from the people. I think if you put the microphones in front of them, if you do the interviews, they'll tell you what they believe and what they think. It will come out.
I have concerns about some of the language that is being used because I saw this myself in the late 70s in San Francisco. This kind of rhetoric was,
she succumbed,
was very frightening.
All of a sudden.
And it created a climate in which we violence. Took place. And, I wish that we would all, again,
we can all get along.
Curb our enthusiasm in some of the statements that are made.
So Representative Maxine Waters wants reporters to probe birthers and teabaggers about their racist views, and Nancy Pelosi says there's going to be violence in America, and Obama says no missile shield for Czechoslovakia and Poland, and we're talking about these things today in the Savage Nation. You didn't hear Maxine Waters? She's always been a laughing stock, but now her paranoia is finally bubbling up to the surface where it's no longer laughable. She actually wants the government to investigate dissenters in the United States of America. Listen to clip 10. 10.
I want them interviewed. I want journalists to be all over those rallies and those marches of the Berthas and the teabaggers. Let's find out what they think.
Well, why not the FBI, Maxine? Because, after all, you believe in a good Stalinist defense. The best way to get a Stalinist state is to start with a Stalinist defense. So Pelosi has attacked anyone who opposes her policies in the most vile terms. Now suddenly is breaking down and saying that it's going to bring about violence. It's unbelievable to me. And then we have the biggest story of the missile defense shield, which I presented in the last hour, and I don't want to do it again, the whole thing all over again, but I'll give you a summary because people were very excited by my analysis. On the surface, Obama saying no missile defense shield for Eastern Europe looks as though he caved into Russia, looks as though he's Neville Chamberlain, looks as though he's a pacifist, looks as though he has stripped Eastern Europe of defense. That's what it appears like on the surface. But I say there may be another story, and that it could be possible that last week, if we remember, by the way, Prime Minister Netanyahu of Israel secretly visited Russia. So I'm saying it could be possible that in exchange for the U.S. agreeing not to install missile shields in Eastern Europe, Russia has tacitly given Israel the green light to attack Iran. That's a possibility. And I asked you what you thought, because things are never what they appear to be. Never what they appear to be. They're only shadows on the wall of the power structure. You never actually see the players nor the puppets. All you see are their shadows on the wall of the cave. I try to see the actual players behind the curtain and what they're actually thinking. If I couldn't do that, I would have left radio a long time ago. In other words, if I were just going to be an angry, loud clown the way everyone on the left is, I wouldn't have done radio. I would have left it a long time ago. So here I am because I think that analysis and logic still have a place in American society. And I believe Pelosi choking up amid fears of political violence is on the one hand absurd, on the other hand laughable. But beyond that, her paranoia is frightening. Then we have the other story, the Obama story. His arrogance has become the way he talks down to audiences, the way he cannot take any kind of criticism without really getting uptight. And this is becoming obvious in the sense that he only likes to be around people who worship him. For example, he went out and he spoke to children at a university about health care. And someone screamed out, "I love you," and he screamed back, "I love you back." Listen to clip number 4.
We're facing the same kind of resistance on another defining struggle of this generation, and that's the issue of health insurance reform.
Now, health insurance reform. You hear the idiots? You hear the drug addicts?
I know this isn't always an issue that you have at the top of your mind. You think you're invulnerable. That's how I thought. I love you back.
All right, so when he's around, sycophants who love him, he's at his best. But what the drug addicts in the university audience don't know, and the sex maniacs, is that they are the ones likely to pay the biggest share of health insurance reform the most. The young adults, when these drug addicts and sex maniacs actually go out into the workplace, assuming they could ever get a job, having majored for 4 years in sex and drugs and rock and roll, it's young adults who are likely to pay the biggest share of reform's cost. Voters don't even know that, but they're the ones who are going to pay the most. They're actually going to support the illegal aliens and the other deadbeats of society who want a free visit to the doctor on a regular basis. So there it is. San Francisco, KSTE. Lou, you're on the Savage Nation. Thank you for calling from 650 on the dial.
Yeah, Michael, I think where Pelosi is going on this, I could tell by the language that she's using. She is reflecting a common way of thinking along with many other people internationally here, toward this direction of hate speech legislation. And
you mean of the kind that I have been subjected to by the liberals in the United Kingdom?
Exactly. And in fact, the United Kingdom has had their police investigate an Anglican bishop who just stated his opinion that he believed that homosexuals could be reoriented through therapy. And that was
right. And they had, and the United Kingdom had police go to the house of an 11-year-old girl who said something that was deemed to be derogatory to a minority.
Yeah, and so, and then in the Irish Council for Civil Liberties a few years ago warned the Catholic Church that if they taught the Vatican guidelines regarding this whole issue of homosexuality or same-sex couples, that they would could bring prosecution. So I think we're, you know, Pelosi is going on this. It's 'cause she has her constituency that she's undoubtedly getting a lot of pressure from to push this kind of a thing, especially around here, you could only imagine. So I think that's where she, this whole pretext of incitement to violence, and it's just
yeah, it's the same crap that Jackie Smith tried to lay on my doorstep in England for expressing my strong views on many topics, including borders, language, and culture. That is why I've been banned in Britain, and I have long feared, frankly, that Pelosi and Hillary Clinton were behind it, and that very soon we're going to see the same kind of Gestapo-like tactics brought down upon our faces here in America exactly by these women, because they do not like anybody criticizing them. They do not believe in free speech. They do not believe in a free and open society. They are dictators in their hearts. And that is exactly why I wrote Banned in Britain.
Yeah, and the First Amendment only means what the Supreme Court says it means. And so we
thus far, we still have a 5-4 majority of centrists on the Supreme Court. And we are still one vote ahead of the communist left. You know that.
It'll take a few appointments with that mindset that it's not a First Amendment violation to have these kinds of laws they have in Canada.
I know that. That's right. That's exactly correct. And that's why we have to remain vigilant. The gang is getting very dangerous right now because they just may lose the greatest scam in American history. They're on the verge of losing the takeover of the healthcare industry, which would have been the most lucrative, let us say, scam in the history of the world. This is bigger than the takeover of the banks and the stimulus thing. That was the looting of the treasury, and nothing came of it other than a few fat cats got rich and a few people were bailed out. But for Pelosi to say that there is going to be political violence worries me very deeply, because when I hear this kind of talk, I fear that, let us say, the agent provocateurs could be unleashed on the American political scene to provoke violence and say that it was caused by the opponents of Obamacare. And it could happen as near as tomorrow. That's what worries me. I have a terrible fear that they could unleash, if you know what an agent provocateur is, and many of you don't, they could unleash their agent provocateurs very, very shortly to conduct acts of violence and say, and then leave, you know, reminders that they're right-wingers who don't like Obama, and then they're going to say, see, I told you so. This is the classic work of the KGB right here in the United States of America. Thank you very much. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Madam Pelosi, in clip two, I think signals something that we're going to talk about. Play clip two.
Our country is great because people can say what they think and they believe. But I also think that they have to take responsibility for any incitement that they may cause.
Well, sure, when you call people Nazis and fascists and such, that's kind of inciting, wouldn't you? Wouldn't you say that's inciting anger in people, Ms. Pelosi? Many people right now are afraid that she and her group are going to plan a fake right-wing attack. They're planning it right now. And they think that she is prepping the nation for this fake right-wing attack right now. In other words, study your history, schmuck. Max in Portland, Oregon, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hello, Doctor. You've taught us about the Reichstag fire in Germany that led to the rise of Hitler. And when I hear Nancy Pelosi saying things like this, I wonder if she's seeding us for that type of environment where that could happen.
That's just what I just said, and perhaps they'll leave a few tea bags around the scene.
Exactly. It's
you know, or birther literature. They could leave tea bags and birther literature. And say that they did it. No, I understand. Max, we're dealing with very dangerous people whose backs are against the wall right now because they're about to have this great prize snatched away from them by the will of the people, and they hate the people. They despise the people. They spit on the people. They think the people are garbage.
And that's what we're getting. That's what, we know what they think of us. And they got another thing coming.
Well, I don't know. She says there will be blood. She speaks of political violence. What does she mean? What does she know that we don't know? What does Madam Pelosi know that we don't know? Huh?
Reichstag.
Yeah, Reichstag fire. Reichstag fire. Albany, New York. Kirk, welcome to the program.
Yes. Pelosi is using a statement to she's making doublespeak to punish free speech. And she says she's concerned about the language people are using, that it's going to create an atmosphere of violence. And then she says that she's going to hold people responsible for creating that violence. Well, that's not free speech. If you're going to be held responsible for the violence it creates, she's going to basically use violence to stop what you're saying.
Mm-hmm. Well, what I'd like to know is this. Why is she referring to violence when nobody has suggested violence? Why is she talking about violence when the people have said no to health insurance reform? Now, I don't see any violence in that. But if she really means people should be held responsible for any incitement they may cause, she really ought to call Jimmy Carter up on the dock, don't you think? Jimmy Carter just tried to create a race war yesterday by saying that anyone who opposes Obama is doing so because he's a black man. That's all. Amarillo, Texas. Paul, next on the Savage Nation.
Yeah, Mike, I was sitting with the wife today, and I heard that clip from Pelosi, and I jumped up, and you know, the first thing into my mind, was, other than that fat yinta, is that she said she's setting the stage, Mike, for martial law. She's doing it right as I speak, and it's going to happen just like you said it's going to happen. She's going to pull the strings. Somebody's going to dance for her, and it's going to go down. Hey, they can call us paranoid all they want. Hide and watch. It's going
to happen. Listen to what she actually said, Madam Pelosi. She said, people must take responsibility for what they say because the ears that it is falling on, the ears that it is falling on, are not as balanced as the person making the statement might assume. How would she know that?
She doesn't know that. She's a fascist pawn to the end.
Well, I don't know what she is. I do know this, that she's the only one left in the Democrat far left that is still calling for a public option. The mainstream Democrats have moved away from it because they heard the voice of the people. But Pelosi is tone deaf to the people. Pelosi is a law unto herself. She is drunk on her power. Do you understand that? It's all power to the speaker. Look, Lord Acton said it. I'll have to repeat it again. Power corrupts. Absolute power corrupts absolutely. The woman is absolutely corrupted by her own power. Everyone knows she's thin-skinned. And I wouldn't be surprised if she investigates Representative Joe Wilson for shouting out, you lie, you know. Well, we'll have to wait and see. We don't know whether there's going to be a Reichstag fire by agents provocateurs. We do not know if there is going to be an attack by Israel on Persia's new international aspirations. And I need your opinions on both matters. New York City, WOR, Brian, go ahead, please.
Michael, Poland and its people have a long history of being allies and friends with the United States. This is going back to Pulaski and Kosciuszko. After World War II, most of the people in Poland, they would have really sided with the United States. And then we were lucky to have the triad of Ronald Reagan, Pope John Paul II, and Lech Walesa. And now in the Iraq War, Poland was an ally of the United States, was put in charge of a section of Iraq. Polish troops were injured and were killed. And this is a terrible way to conduct foreign policy by treating an ally in that manner.
So you think Obama stabbed Poland in the back by not agreeing to build a missile defense shield?
Absolutely. Why even have the word ally anymore? Is that the way to treat a loyal friend of the United States of America?
Well, of course it isn't on the surface, and he could have traded Poland off in exchange for some other deal, such as permitting Israel to attack Iran. In that case, it leaves Poland and Czechoslovakia sort of naked and vulnerable to manipulation by the ex-Soviet Union. I understand that. So someone loses, no matter what happens.
Savage.
MichaelSavage.com. There are so many great stories up on my website that you shouldn't miss, and I want you to look at them. I want you to look at them and read them. There's a couple of good ones we're going to talk about right now through the callers, okay? Orlando, Raphael, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Michael, you are incorrect. President Carter did not say that anybody opposed to President Obama is because he's a black man. He said the majority of individuals at the Tea Party protests, town hall meetings, and the March on Washington were opposed to him because he is not only a black man, because he's the president of the United States who happens to be black and in charge.
Well, but what is your point? I'm not following you, Raphael. Even Democrats distanced themselves from Jimmy Carter. Jimmy Carter claimed that racism was behind Rep. Joe Wilson's You Lie outburst. Let's agree that that's what went on there, correct?
Yes.
Okay. Well, at least we're being rational here. We both agree that Jimmy Carter said that racism was behind Rep. Joe Wilson's You Lie outburst and other attacks on Barack Obama, right? And yet, Dick Durbin distanced himself from this. Have you seen who else? Jim Webb, Democrat, distance himself from this, saying, I don't see this as a racial issue. Senator Kay Hagan, Democrat, North Carolina, said, I don't agree with Carter. And so the fact is, the Democrats themselves do not want a racial argument running rampant in the country, Raphael.
Most rational thinking people in this country, I don't think they want it either. Do you want it? I don't.
So what's the point of your argument then?
My point is that if we were to look back, and Michael, you would agree, the fact is that Secret Service, FBI, and intelligence have already stated that there has been a spike from Inauguration Day of websites, of white supremacist websites and hate groups.
Oh, wait, hold on. Raphael, there's been a great spike in left-wing hate, if you ask me. An enormous spike in hate coming out of CNN. And I'm going to play a few pieces for you to show you that they are like a skinhead group now on the left. I've never seen anything like this today. Today, CNN tried to stir up a race war by taking a black woman who was apparently beaten by a white man outside a Cracker Barrel restaurant, and he tried to turn it into a racial war. Rick Sanchez is the biggest schmuck in the media for doing a thing like this. Now, why would a media group do that unless they wanted to stir up racial hatred? But let's go back to Jimmy Carter. White House Press Secretary Robert Gibbs himself said the following. The president does not believe that criticism comes based on the color of his skin. I think that closes the argument, Raphael.
You said that. I'm talking about what Carter said specifically to those individuals holding up signs that are way overboard when it comes to fanning the flames of racial animosity. They're way overboard. There's no reason to have a sign at one of those protests that says that this is not a third world country. Go back to Kenya. There's no reason to have that sign out there.
It's possible that man is a racist. Does that mean everyone who opposes Obama is a racist?
No one's saying that. President Carter didn't say that. I don't believe that. No one's saying that.
Wait, hold on. Jimmy Carter clearly said that Joe Wilson's You Lie outburst was based upon racism. That's what Jimmy Carter said.
That's what Jimmy Carter said. But I was speaking specifically to your statement about that Carter says that anyone who's opposed to President Obama is only because he's a black man. And he didn't say that.
All I can tell you is that now we're arguing over an argument rather than reality. Dick Durbin, Democrat from Illinois, in Obama's backyard, said, listen, he's the former president and he's entitled to his point of view. I personally believe President Barack Obama and his administration are focused on the issues, and I agree with that. Senator Jim Webb, Democrat, said, I don't see this as a racial issue. And an analyst said that congressional Democrats have no interest in starting a racial argument that could turn off swing district voters who support the party will need if it plans on keeping its grip on Congress in 2010. Even Robert Gibbs said the president does not believe that criticism comes based on the color of his skin. So what are we actually arguing over, Raphael? I don't even know what we're arguing about.
Discuss that if we're honest, Michael. Janet Napolitano, she was crucified by putting out the report that was stating that because this man has been elected and he happens to be black, that there has been a spike, a noticeable spike. He's the most protected president.
Well, Janet Napolitano is a left-wing hack. And Janet Napolitano right now is being investigated by Congress because of her secret use of Homeland Security funds. As a matter of fact, Janet Napolitano released $15 million to build a mansion, to build a checkpoint up in Montana, a checkpoint that receives only three cars a day while letting many illegal aliens cross the border in Mexico. So don't use Janet Napolitano as some arbiter of reason.
Mike, is it a fact or not that President Obama is the most heavily secured president in the history of this country?
How would you know that? I don't know that. How would you know that?
The CIA, Secret Service, they've already stated that. The FBI, they've already stated it, Michael.
I didn't know that. I pay no attention to such things.
There was a noticeable spike in the number of websites and hate groups.
Well, yes, there's a noticeable spike in hate groups on the left, such as CNN has become a notorious hate site right now. For example, today, the left-wing hater, Rick Sanchez, interviewed a black woman beaten by a white man outside of a Cracker Barrel restaurant today, kept it going for over 10 minutes, and tried to start a race war on CNN.
Michael, I agree with that. That's a bogus claim. The black female spit in the white guy's face. I would have beat the crap out of her, too.
Wow, hold on. You're my friend. Raphael, I can't believe what you just said. So, in other words, at least you're coming from this with passion and reason, which is very rare at talk radio.
Michael, the young white kid that was beaten on the bus by the black students, those students should be arrested and convicted of a first-degree assault and maybe even attempted...
Raphael, I hear in your voice a few things. I hear sincerity. I hear no racism. I hear no suspicion of me. I hear a man who is literally screaming to get a point across because he believes it. Would you agree with my opinions on what I just said about you?
I mean, I've had others tell me that, but I agree. Michael, I'm a fair person.
I'm a fair person also, and I don't see race involved in the majority of people opposing Obama's policies. He is an extreme left-wing president, policies onto the American people, and he's doing too much too fast. So you would expect the people to react to that, wouldn't you?
I expect people to be opposed. What worries me, though, is individuals who have shown up to these Tea Party protests and some of the town hall meetings where some of the rhetoric and the signage...
Well, all right, let's talk about them. Do you happen to know whether or not they're actual right-wingers or conservatives or if they were sent out by the Obama administration as agent provocateurs in order to incite men like you into paranoia? How do we know that they weren't put out by the Democrats in order to discredit the conservative opposition? How can we say that for any certainty? We don't know who these people are.
You don't know. I'm only going on the footage I see.
I understand, but Raphael, you know what an agent provocateur is, yes?
No, you have to define that for me.
All right, fine. That's okay. During demonstrations in the 1960s against the war, there were people who tried to provoke violence, and they were sent out by the left wing posing as right wingers, and they were sent out to discredit the right wing as some kind of violent that everyone in the right wing was violent. That's called an agent provocateur, a provocative agent in the French. In other words, you send out someone who looks like he's from the opposition, but he really works for you, and he's sent out to do things which make the opposition not look good. You know what I'm saying?
Understood.
All right. So it's a tactic that was developed a long time ago, either by the Soviets or by the French. I'm not sure which left-wing group developed it or whether it was even left-wing or right-wing groups, but it's a tactic that has been used by political parties all through modern history. So I don't know who these nuts are, the people putting out the vile stuff at these town hall meetings. They could, in fact, be put out by the Democrat machine in order to denigrate the voices of the people, for God's sakes.
And I don't mind protest at all, Michael. I believe in protest. But what I'm concerned with is if it's about health care policy reform, if it's about not taking over of the banks, but kind of putting the banks and holding them to accountability and the car companies, if it's more than that, and we start to see signage and questioning a president of the United States, his birthplace, whether or not he's a U.S. citizen.
Well, there are hundreds of thousands of people who have still not been satisfied that he was in fact born in Hawaii. I think 400,000 people have signed the petition on WorldNet Daily demanding to see the actual birth certificate. And I wouldn't say they're all crazy.
No, but I think that they have a fear of the unknown.
I can't speak for them. I mean, that issue is not the biggest for me. All I can say is Jimmy Carter. I believe Jimmy Carter. Look, are you a black person yourself? I don't know, truthfully, Raphael.
Yeah, I am.
All right. I don't know. Do you know that people over the years have thought that I am actually African American? Did you know that people have thought so by my voice? I've had people think that I was a African American. So I can't tell how people sound by what their racial thing is. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But let me say this: a couple of things, just so you know a little bit more about me. How long have you been listening to the show at all? Off and on, a couple of months, a couple of years?
A few years.
Okay, so then you may know a little bit more about me than most do. Do you know that my current biographer, Ellis Washington, is an African-American professor?
Yes.
Okay, why would I choose an African-American professor to write my biography? Others have suggested that they do it. I just wasn't interested. I didn't do so because he's African-American. I did it because he's a fabulous writer, and he's very passionate about this project. So I don't really care about race. I care about, quality. What are the people capable of doing is what matters to me. Now, let's go to Jimmy Carter. Jimmy Carter is 84 years old. Jimmy Carter, I believe, has a checkered past. I believe Jimmy Carter, in my opinion, holds enmity towards black people, and he projects an overt love for black people, sort of a protective plantation-like protectiveness, which I would find reprehensible if I myself were an African-American. I would not like to see this old man saying that we need him to protect us, which is what he's acting like here. And I also think that he's done a disservice to America by trying to stir up a very, very old a problem in this country that I think, by and large, and I didn't say entirely, but by and large has been pushed away to a great extent compared to what it was when I was a kid. And now for Jimmy Carter to try to stir up racial enmity right now is not healthy for the dialogue.
Well, I don't think he's purposely trying to stir it up. I think he's a man who is speaking his mind and his heart. And for 84 to 85 years old,
Yeah, you may be right, but many Democrats have rejected rejected Jimmy Carter. Dick Durbin moved away from him. Jim Webb moved away from him. Kay Hagan moved away from Carter. Even the president's spokesmouth moved away from Carter. White House press spokesmouth Robert Gibbs said Wednesday morning after Carter's outburst, quote, "The president does not believe that criticism comes based on the color of his skin." And I think we should leave it at that, Raphael. Raphael, would you accept a copy of my new book, Banned in Britain, if I offer to give you one?
Absolutely. I love to read.
I'm going to send it to you when it's available. It'll come to you in a plain brown wrapper so you don't have to be embarrassed in front of your neighbors. Keep him on the line. We'll send them Banned in Britain, available on michaelsavage.com. I'll be right back.
Savage.
to the Savage Nation. There's a couple of things on my website. Many of you know, it's interesting. I think I assume that everyone who listens to the show goes to michaelsavage.com, but it's not true. When you realize that the listenership is in the, you know, 8 to 10 million a week on the show and radio, right? And that I have about 1.4 million a month going to my website. Of course, most of you don't go to the website, so I keep thinking you do, but most of you don't. But nevertheless, for those of you who do, I linked up the profile in the New Yorker because I'm the only media figure in history so honored, and I thought you would want to see that. Also, there's a letter from the California Highway Patrol thanking me for the donation that I made to the families of the survivors of men and women in uniform who have been killed in the line of service. And over the next few days, you will see other donations that I have made and I continue to want to make to animal groups and to police groups. Those are the groups that I'm supporting right now. There's some other stories that you should take a look at that, well, I think many of them you've seen everywhere else, but some of them you won't see. Here's one. This is an interesting one from the about Pelosi again, that even the Washington, here it is, Pelosi denounced for warning against incitement. And they say Pelosi appeared to question whether today's conservative protests were similar to anti-gay rallies that preceded the assassination of two San Francisco political leaders. I mean, which is unbelievably insightful. Is it insightful or inciting? See, it's very interesting words. They both derive from the same root. Is that insightful of Nancy Pelosi to make this warning? Or is it inciting unto itself? I'll let you decide. Huh? Well, all I know is that the House Republicans' top campaign chief strongly denounced Pelosi's comments. You know, you'd expect that finally. Who's right in this debate? You decide for yourself. The fact of the matter is, Pelosi, I think, is losing it because she had such a firm grip in her mind over all the members of Congress, not last spring, total and absolute power. She was in total control of every member of Congress. And she said, yeah, we can tolerate dissent because there was very little dissent. Now dissent has become viral in America. And now she's saying dissent is no longer patriotic. I think we should play Hillary Clinton when George Bush was in power, when she said, I am so tired of people saying that dissent is not patriotic. You remember that one, guys?
I am sick and tired of people who say that if you debate and you disagree with this administration, somehow you're not patriotic. And we should stand up and say, we are Americans and we have a right to debate and disagree with any administration.
Thank you. You see, I always liked Hillary Clinton. That's why I appealed to her to appeal to Britain. Of course, she never answered me. But I think that if Nancy Pelosi is worried about potential violence, she ought to begin by denouncing real violence. For example, that practiced by the Black Panthers during the last election. Remember those nice folks with the batons that the Justice Department refused to prosecute? I think she ought to start with worrying about the real violence that's practiced by the SEIU brown shirts, that's the Service Employee International Union, against Tea Party demonstrators, okay? Or she ought to talk about the violence inflicted upon the American people by the illegal aliens, since 30% of all prisoners in America are illegal aliens, and they are there because they committed violence against Americans, okay? Now, what about the 70s violence committed by the friends of those in power right now? What about the violence inflicted upon America by the dear friends of Barack Hussein Obama, those behind the scenes? Shall I name them for you? Do you want to remember any of the names? Bill, does Bill Ayers ring a bell? When you say Bill Ayers, does that ring a bell? They now control Congress, them and their friends. So I agree with her. We're all opposed to violence. But how about William Ayers in the 70s? How about the thousands of Bush Hitler signs and screaming idiots threatening President Bush and Dick Cheney? Where was the speaker then? So dissent is only patriotic when it comes to the genocidal communist left? We're all opposed to violence. But when liberal fascists start to unleash this kind of rhetoric on America, look out. Because I believe that the agents provocateurs, like the running dogs they are, have been unleashed already. And it's only a matter of time until something happens that they're going to blame on the right. Look up agent provocateur. Many of you don't know what it is. But the fact of the matter is, I think they've already unleashed them. God only knows where they will strike. And God only knows if Israel will strike Iran. If they do and Russia does nothing, then you'll know that my suspicions are correct.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Nancy Pelosi, the House Speaker from San Francisco, broke into tears at a press conference this morning in response to a question about the current state of political discourse. She recalled a time in San Francisco when emotions ran out of control, referring to the assassination of Mayor George Moscone and Supervisor Harvey Milk by an angry former supervisor, Dan White, in 1978. And so Pelosi struggled with tears, saying, people can say what they think in a democracy. And then she said, as she teared up, she wished that everyone would curb their enthusiasms and, quote, take responsibility for what they say. She said, because the ears that their statements are falling on may not be as balanced as their own. Now, of course, this is the same Nancy Pelosi who called people un-American, called them Nazis, called them fascists at the town hall meetings. But this, from Pelosi, these comments came after the House chastised Representative Joe Wilson for shouting out, rightly so in my opinion, you lie, during Chairman Barack Hussein Obama's address to Congress last week. So apparently the anger coming from the people and from at least one man with guts in Congress is too much for Pelosi. And then she went on, after saying that she wants us all to get along, that, quote, a public option will be in the bill that passes the House. So she threw down the gauntlet to Senate moderates who oppose a government-run option in health care legislation, after saying we all should get along. She then called inexcusable the recently revealed actions of the radical activist group ACORN. She said she was shocked to find out that the group was recently defunded. She knew nothing about it. Now, of course, Republicans, no doubt, and rightly so, are claiming that Democrats, including Pelosi, have sheltered ACORN. You hear this? On Monday, the Senate voted 83-7 to block the HUD department from giving grants to ACORN. But that wasn't apparently news enough for Nancy. She still is along with those who say nothing happened. The funniest part here is that here's Nancy Pelosi saying, let's all get along. I got to read you some of the comments that people wrote today in our hometown of San Francisco. Bizarre blend of comments, polling lingo and self-styling ramblings of the number one carpetbagger drama queen. Another one said, I'd be crying too if I ran Congress as poorly as she is. Plus, old tearjerker Nancy wasn't even aware that most of the Senate cut off funds to ACORN. Quote, they did what? I wasn't aware, she said. Hello, aren't you Speaker of the House? Nancy took impeachment off the table in 06, and don't you forget it. Those last years with Bush, she could have been avoided. Boot her out, get rid of her. She's an embarrassment. Another one wrote, crocodile tears. Does this mean she is going to stop referring to her opponents as un-American? Another guy wrote, Pelosi crying? Good. Let her wail like a screaming baby. She is crying because the public option of the DOA health care bill is DOA. And then another one wrote, poor baby, she just needs to be held, snuggle with her to comfort her, and to think she is third in line to be president. The Moscone incident occurred in 1978. She was just another Presidio Heights housewife in 1978, instructing her cleaning people how to properly polish the silver. And then someone added, also, I'm quite sure that Botox is covered by her current insurance policy. I mean, what member of Congress would sign up for the public option? None. Another one wrote, wonder who taught her to tear up on cue, the phony. Pelosi is a disgrace. She has loudly denigrated the American public, lied about the CIA, and has become drunk with power. People do not trust her and consider her the most despised politician in the nation. Here's another one, this coming from one of the most caustic and graceless critics of Bush. She was almost obsessive in seeing things in the very worst possible way. Zero goodwill, zero understanding, zero compromise, and zero manners. Attack, attack, attack is all Pelosi knows. And now that she's at the top of the hill, she wants everyone to play nice, and she starts crying like a little girl when they don't. Women should be outraged. Everyone should be sickened by Pelosi. She should shed tears over the unborn children she refuses to defend, says another one. Is she tearing up because she realizes all the Acorn funding is going away and the Democrats that need Acorn funds to get reelected are lost? The Acorn funding shutdown will do more to alter the political landscape in America than anything else. Without the funding from Acorn and the SEIU, the Democrats can't fund an election campaign anywhere. Well, that's all for now on Nancy Pelosi. She's not loved very well in her own city, by the way. Now on to other news. The biggest story and the most frightful story, frankly, is the astounding parallel between Obama and Neville Chamberlain. Today, Obama killed a missile defense shield for Poland and Czechoslovakia, and he made this announcement on the 70th anniversary of the Soviet invasion. No shield for Europe. This will certainly embolden the hawks in Russia. This is a shameful surrender, according to one newspaper, and frightening, actually, to see that this man is the very pacifist that we predicted he would be. Niall Gardner is a Washington-based foreign affairs analyst for the Telegraph UK, and he said Barack Obama surrenders to Russia on missile defense. He says a few other things. He said he wrote a few weeks ago that the Obama administration was about to abandon its plans for third-site missile defense installations in Poland and the Czech Republic. He wrote then that, quote, if enacted, this would represent a huge turnaround in American strategic thinking on a global missile defense system and a massive betrayal of two key U.S. allies in Eastern and Central Europe. Such a move would significantly weaken America's ability to combat the growing threat posed by Iran's ballistic missile program and would hand the major propaganda victory to the Russians. He then says it now looks as though the president has surrendered to Russian demands to kill off the third site. Niall Gardner is a Washington-based foreign affairs analyst.
He's a smart guest. He's a regular on the Savage Nation, and we'll be talking to him a little bit later on in the hour on this very subject.
He then goes on to say, what signal does this send to Ukraine, Georgia, and a host of other former Soviet satellites who look to America and NATO for protection from their powerful neighbor? The impending cancellation of Third Sight is a shameful abandonment of America's friends in Eastern and Central Europe, and a slap in the face for those who actually believe the key agreement with Washington was worth the paper it was written on. This is directly akin, again, to Neville Chamberlain, who signed a peace agreement with Hitler and came back and said, Anglo-German relations have never been stronger. There's peace in our time. Shortly thereafter, of course, Hitler invaded Poland. We have a president who is a mimic in so many ways of Neville Chamberlain. Now, of course, there are those who would compare Obama to figures from history that are far worse than Neville Chamberlain. But I will make a prediction on this show that no matter what comparison is made to what weakling past leader, it will be knocked down by the left, which is in total denial at all turns. They won't even see the handwriting on the wall when the handwriting is written in blood.
The parallels are absolutely amazing because Chamberlain went to Munich to give Czechoslovakia to Hitler. It was specifically that land that he gave up.
Well, how do people see this? He's in Afghanistan doubling troops there, and you know, he lets down our allies, no shield for Europe, while Iran is developing rockets with nuclear tips on them?
Yeah. Those who do not know their history are doomed to repeat it. And at the same time this is happening, we're weak in Europe. We're admitting weakness with regard to China. According to Defense Secretary Robert Gates, China's increasingly advanced weaponry could undermine U.S. military power in the Pacific. I wonder what we're actually doing about it.
And listen to what the communists inside Czechoslovakia said. It is a big victory for the Czech Republic. We are happy that we will be able to continue to live in our beautiful country without the presence of foreign soldiers, said Jan Thomas, a Czech activist who had organized numerous protests. In other words, he is a fellow traveler of the Soviet Union. He is a communist. This is exactly what went on in the 1930s in the United States of America when Gestapo agents in America form German-American Bund friendship leagues, constantly putting out a stream of pro-Hitler propaganda, saying Hitler only wanted peace in his time. Fears of Moscow run especially deep in Poland, highlighted by a key anniversary today. Exactly 70 years ago, on September 17, 1939, Poland was invaded by the Soviet Union at the start of World War II. So think of what Obama just did on September 17th, and think of the historical parallel. Just think, ladies and gentlemen, the danger this man is putting us in, those of us living in the free world. I'll be right back. It's the Savage Nation.
Savage.
In anything, tell me what you are. Now, I really have to get into that, because we're facing an epic battle right now, and you know, they call it a battle of civilizations between the West and Islam, radical Islam, if you want to put it to you that way. But it's different than that. It's not really a battle of civilizations. It's a battle of the believer versus the non-believer. That's in my opinion. I have to tell you, that's how I see it. And whenever the believer has faced the non-believer, the believer has always won. Do you know that historically? That's the truth. That is the truth. Most of the men and boys who fought in World War II were Christians, and they were raised in nominally, if not actively, alive Christian homes. The churches in America were all full on Sundays in the 1930s, which, of course, was the decade that preceded the World War II of the 1940s. These boys grew up in church. It was drummed into their head that there's a God in heaven, that America is good, that we are right. Now I want you to think about what we have today. No God, run by atheists, atheism rules. There's no reason for living other than for pleasure and to buy things. That doesn't mean the man can't fight. I'm sure that there are atheists who can whip religious men's butts in a cage fight. That's not the point I'm making. I'm talking on a national level. I'm talking about when a nation ceases to believe, the nation basically becomes hollow. It becomes empty. Marxism was an atheistic philosophy. Marxism isn't a philosophy of atheism. It's built upon a philosophy of atheism. It's a theory of social change, and it has an atheist view of human liberation. So when you hear liberation theology in a church, you're not listening to a religious man. You're listening to a Marxist. That goes back to our president sitting for 20 years in Reverend Wright's Church of Atheism. It was Afrocentrist liberation theology. That's what we have now in the presidency, in my opinion. So what I'm getting at is we need to believe. A man needs to believe. He must believe. With belief, it was told to me many years ago when I went through a very bad period of my life. A man said to me that without belief, you can do nothing. And with belief, he said, a man can move a mountain. I didn't quite understand what he meant. He was right. Because, I don't want to get into it because it's not a church right now. I'm not into religious. It's an AM broadcasting. This is so anti-corporate, I don't know what might happen tomorrow. I mean, they can get so frightened to hear a man talk about God like this on the radio that they could do anything. And I don't really care at this point because I answer to a higher power, so to speak. That's what I really care about. And I got to be careful what I say. There's a lot at stake. I have been put on a list with murderers and terrorists, and there's an absolute deathly silence about it in the United States of America. You got a guy like Pat Buchanan goes to England and comes back, Mr. Conservative, and doesn't write one word about an American broadcaster who has been banned in Britain. Ask yourself why. The answer is because the American right establishment and the American left establishment are two sides of the same coin. And I am an independent. And therefore, they hate my guts. I threaten the social order, whether it be the right-wing Pat Buchananites or the left-wing, and you name it, fill in the blank. There's so many of them, it's hard to pick one as a poster boy for it. So you say, well, what does it have to do with what you're talking about today? I'm not sure what it has to do with it other than this. I asked God 20-some-odd years ago, it was actually about 15 years ago, I begged God to give me a living. Now, things were very bad for me no matter what I had done. No matter how I had tried, I called myself a wildcatter at that point in my life. I said, after all this work, the PhD, the books, they won't hire me. I can't get a job. I mean, I was really frightened. Many of you are listening to me are frightened right now. Maybe you've lost your job. Maybe you've lost your income. Maybe you're about to lose a job or your income. And you listen to the show for entertainment, to give you strength. You get strength from me. You get strength from me because I'm like your father. I'm like your uncle. Many of you tune in to suck my energy. I don't mind. I got plenty of it. I got loads of energy. I throw off sparks like a dynamo. I understand that when I'm in the right mood, and I'm in the right mood today, brother. Let me tell you, I have a power running through me, and I don't know. There's so many things we could talk about other than healthcare reform. I mean, I don't. I watch too much television. I admit it. So I often watch either military history or National Geographic. National Geo is very left-wing and very full of fright now and fear, but the graphics are amazing. Every day another comet's going to hit and wipe life out, you know. Every day another strata is discovered to prove that we're nothing but atoms walking around. You know, we have no souls, no nothing. It's horrible. It makes you just wonder why I get up in the morning if we're just going to disappear like we were never here. So last night was a topper. Last night was they drain the oceans for us and show us what's underneath the... So they go to the Hawaiian Islands or the Bahamas, and they show you there's a reef, a canyon off the Bahamas that's like, 5 miles deep. And that the Bahamas are the top of a chain, a mountain. I couldn't follow it all. I don't know what they were getting at. Then the Hawaiian Islands are disappearing. I lived there for 6 years. Obama came from there. How do you comprehend these things? One scientist after another, the islands rose up, and they're not really islands. They're not the tops of mountains. They may actually be a result of earthquakes that came up and pushed up, and the ridges collapsed. And as the ridges collapsed, they created, and the islands are slowly falling into the... Good God! You mean everything's going to disappear? It's all doom and gloom. So it's very difficult to deal with television these days. Everything's a nightmare. So you try to find something positive. It's not easy. It's very hard to find entertainment, per se. And I think I'm through watching Mad Men. I'm through with it. I realize it's so negative. It's so cynical and negative, I'm never going to watch it again. It's making people sick. I don't recommend it at all. I highly recommend you don't watch Mad Men. It's a horrendously negative set of stereotypes written by very small-minded people. The more I've watched it, the more I realize the genius of artists and how negative and how they poison your mind. Thumbs down to Mad Men. Never watch it. It's dangerous.
Savage.
We've gotten news that the military is beginning emotional resiliency classes for our troops. What? Emotional resiliency classes? What is this about? Selwyn Duke has more on the military's plans.
Hi, Michael. Nice being with you again. Michael, I have some bad news. Today, when Johnny comes marching home, he just may be carrying a stress card and a bottle of Prozac. Now, what I'm talking about is that the U.S. Army is spending $117 million on a new program to toughen up combat troops mentally. Now, when we hear this, we certainly don't expect the ancient Spartan regime of blood soup, reed beds, and whippings to inure one to pain. But we don't expect emotional resiliency classes either, but that's exactly what the money is being used for, to train 1,500 sergeants to teach just that, turning them into de facto psychologists. It's all part of a new program, the handiwork of one Dr. Martin Seligman, chairman of the Positive Psychology Center at the University of Pennsylvania. Now, the military has been consulting with this man, and the Army calls him, get this, Dr. Happy.
Well, that has a ring of familiarity to it, believe me.
Hey, it's only a short lateral move to academia, you know. Anyway, this $117 million program is known as the Comprehensive Soldier Fitness Program, and Army spokesman Gary Tallman tells us that it's designed to, quote, build resilience in soldiers, family members, and Army civilians by developing five dimensions of strength: physical, emotional, social, spiritual, and family. He also said, quote, resilience can be defined as having the ability to grow and thrive in the face of challenges and bounce back from adversity, unquote. Really? Well, it could also be defined as the ability to manage problems without running to the therapist, I think. Now,
The Army is pursuing this program to help soldiers combat not just the enemy, but also depression, stress, and suicidal thoughts. And look, let's be honest. Nothing can be more stressful than staring death in the face on a faraway battlefield. But look, I'm skeptical of psychology and its remedies, and it's a bias I developed after seeing time and again that few psychologists' explanations of man's behavior have corresponded to most everyone's sense of man's nature. Not only that, but when hard science can settle a matter, it usually indicates, guess what? That laymen are better psychologists than psychologists. I mean, just think about this. Think about how psychology insisted for decades that, hey, boys and girls are the same, except for the superficial physical differences. And then psychology helped create legions of naive parents. But then what happened in the 1990s? Well, brain research and a greater understanding of intrauterine development proved this false, thus vindicating tradition. Well, you know what? That's a pretty darn big oops. Now, having said this, there is, of course, such a thing as human psychology, because people do operate by certain principles. The problem is that modern psychology doesn't seem to have a very good grasp of what they are. But nevertheless, many will claim that Dr. Happy's program has merit, and I don't want to argue about the details, because there's a bigger picture here. Now, the Army claims that 1/5 of returning combat troops suffer from mental health problems. And you know what? This isn't surprising, because for one thing, Psychologist's Handbook, the Diagnostic and Statistical Manual of Mental Disorders, is soon going to be as big as the House's health care bill. Because you see, psychology suffers from what I've dubbed disorder creation disorder. This is the unquenchable desire to diagnose ever more of what we used to call sins and frailties as diseases or conditions of the brain. And hey, it widens psychologists' market beautifully.
Well, sure, soon all of us will be declared mentally ill who oppose Nancy Pelosi.
I'll bet, Michael. I expect to spend my retirement in a rubber room. But you know something else? It also seems that how the psychological frailty of troops is portrayed has more to do with the spirit of the age than scientific advances. I mean, my father was a prisoner of war in Germany during World War II, and let me tell you, he saw his share of action. Here's a story, for instance. I remember he once told us about how he saw the front of a buddy's head blown off by shrapnel. But still, his generation didn't fixate on psychological problems. They did their duty and soldiered on. Now, contrast this with the image of the troubled, unstable, tormented Vietnam veteran. Now, before anyone gets insulted, I said image for a reason, because I realize that most Vietnam veterans are stout-hearted men who answered the call and did their duty. But the image exists for a reason, and what I mean is, Vietnam was the first war of touchy-feely, post-Christian, free sex and hard rock America. People saw tremendous psychological problems, not only because some men had in fact softened, but also because people were looking for those problems. You could say the weak grew in number and projected their feelings even onto the strong. And more significantly, they came to expect these psychological problems to be the norm. And that expectation became first known and then a reality. And you know what it's like? It's like a mother I knew whose son had been diagnosed with ADD. The therapist gave her son a book on how an ADD child behaved, but the mother took it away soon after. And you know why? Well, she said that, surprise, surprise, the son started to copy the behavior of the child in the book.
Well, this is why I say liberalism is a mental disorder. It's turned our entire civilization into a spoiled child. Liberalism has even affected the military.
It certainly has, Michael. And if you want some more insight into this, listen to these testimonials left by soldiers and ex-soldiers under a Fox News article on Dr. Happy. One soldier wrote, you'll love this, quote, "I about fell out when I heard about stress cards in boot camp. What idiot came up with those stress cards? Do they think the Taliban or Abu Sayyaf will stop shooting at you because you show them a little pink card with Hello Kitty on it that reads, 'Please stop shooting at me, it lowers my self-esteem'? For all anyone knows, setting soldiers up in a preschool environment like that contributes to post-traumatic stress disorder by removing them from their coloring books and sheltered world and dumping them into combat. I don't know if I want to re-enlist now or not." Unquote. Now, in case you don't know what he's talking about, the Army has long issued stress cards, believe it or not, that soldiers can produce if they're like, well, you know, man, feeling stressed. And then the drill sergeant has to give them a break. I also read once, although I can't confirm this, but I read once that the Army was allowing women to wear sneakers during basic training because they got too many injuries in combat boots. Well, I don't suppose it matters, right? I mean, we all know that any Taliban they ran into would be chivalrous anyway. Now, another ex-soldier writes, quote, "We spent several days a month on classes that were meant to teach us how to prevent suicide, prevent drug and alcohol abuse, prevent human trafficking, prevent stereotyping, prevent racial profiling, prevent divorce, spouse abuse, child abuse, etc. We only went to the firing range once during the last year I was in the Army, but we watched a ton of prevention presentations and air-conditioned auditoriums," unquote. Then, an officer illustrates the consequences of this, writing, quote, "I once met a private that was a product of that environment. He burst into tears when I asked if his arm was broken when he failed the salute," unquote.
What? He burst into tears? This is unbelievable to me. I guess this is the first generation of Ritalin boys.
Well, Michael, with all the psychologists around, if they're not on Ritalin when they enlist, they might be when they're discharged. Now, lastly, yet another soldier points out that some men use the Corporal Klinger routine. You know, of MASH fame, the Corporal Klinger routine, and feign psychological problems to avoid being deployed. He also says, this is very interesting, that many soldiers have psychological problems when leaving the military for a very simple reason. They had them when they went in. And this brings us to the main point. The civilian pool of candidates just isn't what it once was, let's face it. I mean, if parents fail to instill obedience in children, if the young never learn to follow orders at home, how amenable will they be to following orders in the military? If parents don't instill discipline, young people will certainly be stressed when it's required of them by a drill sergeant, right? It's just common sense. And if kids are coddled, catered to, and shielded from failure, hey, trophies for everyone, right? If that happens and they aren't toughened up, of course they'll crumble in a military environment. Look, sadly, we've become a stress card society. I just wonder what General Patton would say.
Yes, Selwyn, we need more General Pattons and less patent leather.
Michael, thank you for having me on your great show again, and God bless you, your audience, and all of the good stress card-hating soldiers in our military.
Thanks for that, Selwyn Duke. This is the Savage Nation. Be here or be nowhere.
Savage.
James Carafano, foreign policy expert from the Heritage Foundation, joins us now on the Savage Nation to talk about the recent anniversary of 9/11 and Congress's response or lack thereof.
Michael, thanks for having me on the show. And this is all I have to tell you is the Savage Nation has not been savage enough. We're just not getting the word to people in Washington to quit doing stupid things. And, you know, we just past the anniversary of 9/11, and you would think that Congress would maybe take a day and say, you know what, we should honor the memory of the people that died, and we should honor the service of all the men and women around the world who have been protecting us and combating terrorism and do some smart things and stop doing stupid things. But we, you know, we just don't see it.
So what is Congress working on that's taking up all of their other time?
They came back into town, and you look at the bills that they're waiting to pass and sign, and you just scratch your head. I mean, some of these things are just ridiculous. I mean, if they really cared about 9/11, you'd think they'd want to secure our borders and decrease illegal immigration in this country. There's two bills out there, the DREAM Act, which is to give basically to give education benefits to the kids who are illegally. You know, I'm sure they're nice kids, but that's just going to encourage more people to come illegally. And an Ag Jobs Act, so, you know, agriculture is screaming for workers. So, you know, Senator Feinstein has a great answer. Let's just give all the agricultural workers amnesties. So, and that's just going to encourage more illegal immigration. So there are two bills sitting out there that people want to pass, which is going to encourage more illegal immigration. That's not good for Homeland Security. There's a bill out there. It's I mean, you're not going to believe this. It's called the Catastrophic Insurance. It said we should give everybody insurance, right? You know, in case there's a big terrorism attack or something. Well, what this is going to do is subsidize people that live on the coast and hurricane states and buy insurance for them and cheaper insurance. And you know who's going to pay for it? They're going to have a federal backstop with a federal insurance fund. So the taxpayers are going to pay for it. So those of us who are, you know, have to live in Kansas, which is a great place, don't get me wrong, but you don't see much coastline there, many beaches, and you sure don't see a whole heck of a lot of hurricanes. They're going to be, you know, paying to subsidize people so they can live on the beach. So, and that's another bill that's on the table. It's Catastrophic Insurance Act that's probably going to get passed. You know, and they just don't get it. You know, you want to stop terrorism? You quit doing these stupid bills, which are just, you know, making stakeholders and lobbyists happy. And what you do is you go and get terrorists. You get the leaders. You break up the organizations. You cut off the sources of funding. You drive the sources. Getting on the ground, turning informants, spying on people, getting bad guys, that works. And we need to do more of that and less of this other stuff, which we do, you know, under the name of Homeland Security, or we just ignore Homeland Security. And you would think at least once a year Congress would acknowledge that they take this business seriously. But, you know, we sure didn't see that last week.
Well, as always, a very insightful look into events in Washington. Thank you, James Carafano, foreign policy expert at the Heritage Foundation.
And, you know, thanks for having me. As always, you are, you know, looking at the stuff that other people are not. You know, they do this kind of watch my one hand, and everybody's focused on these big button issues like healthcare and cap and trade, which are really important. But on the other hand, Congress is robbing us blind in the name of Homeland Security and a lot of other things. And, you know, people need to pay attention to that as well. So, you know, thanks for being out there checking on these things, which are important. But, you know, we just kind of don't have our eye on the ball.
But there are other topics out there. 1-800-449-8255. Play music for me now. I feel I'm spacing out. Give me some rock. That's nice. What is this? Oh, the Sea of Love.
The Sea of Love.
Who's Bill Phillips? Who's Bill Phillips? Who was the girl actor, the woman actress in this movie with Al Pacino? She was still good looking when they did the movie. Ellen Barkin. Whatever happened to her? I often think about, she's still operating somewhere? She's trying to nail another Madoff-like guy, like a, she always marries like, you know, perfume magnates or whatever. All right, turn it off. Headache already. Migraine. I got to tell you what happened last night. I'm going to back off into a personal now. Forgive me my personal indulgences every once in a while. You're not going to believe this. Last Friday, remember I was complaining about ears, humming in my ears for a couple of days last week. Really, it was like I was inside a swimming pool, you know, like that, like something over your ears. Okay, I had that for days. So I go to an ear doctor last Friday, and he looks in my ears, and he takes the opportunity to clean my ears, which was disgusting. I didn't ask him to clean them. I just look at him to see what's in these. He says, well, while I'm in there, and he pulled out wax that looked like the, I'm sorry to bore you, it looked like the size of a small fly. So I said, that's what caused the humming? He said, no, but I couldn't see beyond it. Now that I can, there's nothing wrong with you. So I said, okay, great. All right, so you go home. I relaxed on a four-day weekend. I took time off from radio, and it went away. It truly did. It was all tension. It was nerves, right? Something happened inside me. Nerves do get to you with what I've been through from the lib attacks. Wait a minute. I swear as God is my witness, you should be struck dead by lightning if I'm lying, as they used to say in Brooklyn, even though I'm from the Bronx. You should be struck dead by lightning, not me if I'm lying. But anyway, it's an old bad joke. I swear, last night, 10:30, 11 o'clock, I go out to walk the dog, and there were like moths. It was so hot, like moths were flying out of the shrubbery next to the front door. It was like eerie. And one of them, I bend down to put the leash on the dog. A moth flies in my left ear. I swear to God, there's a moth. Like, did you ever get a moth in you and try to get it out and it won't come out? You grab it and you can't grab nothing? Nothing. Can't grab anything. And it's flapping its damn wings. And I'm freaking that it's going to burrow into my brain. I swear to God. And I'm digging and nothing's coming. I'm saying, God, why are you doing this to me? What's the message? Why is there a moth in my ear? I swear to God, and I'm digging and pulling, and I say, I got it, nothing, and it's still flipping, flapping these big wings inside my ear, and I'm freaking, it's going to go in. Oh, God, darn, and I don't see. I'm pulling and yanking, and I'm throwing on the ground, and I look, and there's nothing on the ground. So I got a freak show. I get the cell phone number of the ear doctor, and I call him. And he finally, he was nice enough to take the call. I told him what happened. I said, I don't see the moth parts on the ground, but it's not flapping in my ear anymore. I said, could it get in my head and penetrate my brain? He said, no, it can't. Well, I got to tell you the truth. I mean, I put a Q-tip in there. There was a teeny bit of blood. I'm not trying to, like, gross you out here. So wait a minute. Now I put the whole thing aside, and I said, you know what? God's speaking to me. I still have – I'm a highly educated man, but – and there's a big but. I'm extremely mystically oriented about events. I still have, like, a primitive part of me that is a mystical streak, like dream interpretation. I guess that's from the hippie days, the – searching for the plants, living in the Fiji Islands, drinking Yangona until all hours of the night, and, you know, Amdo, and drinking with the Fijians and sitting on floor mats and seeing spirits and talking to spirit healers. But I didn't get it from that. I had it earlier than that. I had the spirit thing back in Harlem when I went to all black Abyssinian churches, and I was the only white guy because I used to like to get into the spirit of the thing, and I felt the spirit more there than I did in the Episcopal Church or the synagogue. So what can I tell you? There's always been something spirits. So therefore, I said to myself after the moth experience in the ear, what is God telling me? Why is God doing this to me? What is the meaning of a losing my hearing like in a drum last week, and this week a moth flying? And it's like one in a billion that this would happen to me. 1-800-449-8255, michaelsavage.com. Go to the website. Go ahead. Look up the stories. Come on, I'm not taking calls on hair loss. Stop it. They're putting real crackpot callers up here. No, I'll tell you. You want me to talk about hair loss? What do I know about hair loss? I lost hair. What should I tell you about that? You know, to each his own. Leave me out of it, though. I don't know. The whole thing is getting to me now. It's like it's all coming full circle. Everything in my life is coming back to where it started. Just that I'm older with it, that's all. Just older, no different. I'm the same height. And you think about it, nothing. Your height doesn't really change over time. Think about that. Well, it does. If you live long enough, everything goes and you shrink. That's the real kicker that God gives you. If you're lucky enough to live long enough, you lose every function in your body and you shrink in size. Perfect. What a reward for living a long and wonderful life. You shrivel up and every organ goes. Terrific. Great. What a scene. What a scene this is. Every day, a joy. Every joy is every second another joy.